This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:13 and this is the evening edition with Lynn and Hezril. And our next topic involves a little bit of time travel because we want to, if you're willing to follow us, kind of fast forward a little bit and look at what things might be like in 2044.
Yeah, because by then it's projected that 14% of Malaysians will be older than 65, at least according to a World Bank report, which looks at ways we can prepare for an aging society. It's called a silver lining, productive and inclusive aging for Malaysia.
Yeah, so like many other World Bank reports, I think it's well worth reading because it has a lot of interesting findings and suggestions. And according to the report, and here we come to the, I guess, the bad news first, this trend, this mega trend of aging might create some challenges in areas like employment, income security, and aged care. For instance, there could be fewer working Malaysians, which means reduced GDP growth, and more people will need higher insurance coverage.
Yeah, and on to, I guess, the better news. So despite these challenges, the World Bank says that we can take this opportunity to develop a new economy, right? They call it the silver economy. This could mean gradually increasing the retirement age to 65, for instance, and expanding social safety nets.
Yes. And so on those suggestions, like I said, some really interesting ones, especially in light of how much we're talking about EPF these days. So they suggested, for instance, expanding EPF coverage to self-employed and informal sector workers, and also a minimum social pension for the B40, also rethinking or refining the role of EPF as a whole.
Yeah, and it's nice that there is, that silver lining, isn't it, in all of this. I was wondering if we could make that adjustment to work, you know, at least until 65. I don't know if I could personally do it, but I think that there are a lot of moving pieces here, right? So it's not just looking at the EPF. It's also providing the healthcare needed for an aging population. So it looks quite interesting.
There is a lot. I don't know. There's just so many things. And I think the issue of retirement is also complicated because you don't want people to have to feel like they need to work their entire lives.
Yeah.
Neither do you want to put people out to the proverbial pasture, you know, before they're ready. Like if they still want to be productive, if they still want to work.
No,
let us know what you think. I mean, again, so 14% of Malaysians in 2044 will be older than 65. So we're talking about how we can prepare for that and what the impact might be. You can let us know what you think. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now, though, to Professor Datuk Dr. Norma Manso, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre of University Malaya. Prof. Norma, thank you so much for joining us. So, if we look at what this report is predicting, right, this aging society, what implications would this have for our country, especially from a societal and economic point of view?
It's interesting that the World Bank and many planners talk about an aging population with 65 years old. Yeah, whereas for Malaysia, our retirement age is 60. If we take that into consideration, the impact is even greater or even earlier, yeah? Because when you talk about the aging population, you're talking about a group against another group that is contributing productively into the economy, yeah? That they are involved in the productive economy at the ages of 15 to 64 in this case. In our case, 15 to 59. Yeah. So when you have young children, a group of young children that will depend on this productive group. Whereas when you have an older person, if they are not working, they're not productive, they are dependent upon the productive group. Yeah. So the expansion of the working age population, like we had when we talk about the demographic dividend or the benefits that you get out of population growth, yeah, is that when the age population is expanded, the working age population, it only works when the it is followed by a favorable economic favorable condition for sustainable economic growth path, and if the country creates sufficient jobs to absorb the rapid entry into the labor market. Yeah. So what happened in Malaysia was we've had that experience, but it is coming to an end soon when the productive age will have to carry more burden or will have to provide for a bigger percentage that is not contributing to the productive economy. So the impact on the country is that more people will be dependent on the productivity of the 15 to 64 or 15 to 60 years of age.
Mm. So the report also compares our aging trend to that of other high-income countries, economies like Japan. How do our circumstances differ, especially with how our economy's been affected this year?
Japan experienced the demographic benefit where you have a bigger percentage of the population in the productive category much earlier than us, yeah, in the 1930s to 1935. And they have sustained a very long economic growth as a result of the benefits of that demographic change. And for us, our aging rate is faster than Japan and many other countries. Yeah, and the you can only enjoy the benefits of the demographic shift if you were to grow your surplus, you have your savings, and invest in the economy, and also only then you can enjoy or sustain the demographic shift with the older population. So the difference is, Japan has or was able to accumulate this wealth over the years, and they are now enjoying the second demographic dividend, where due to the employment policies, due to the savings investment and all that, that is able to sustain the economy and to support the old age population going forward. Yeah. So for Malaysia, our concern is that how our policies now will influence policies in the past and policies now will influence on how the economy and the population, especially the aging population, would experience going forward.
And, you know, the World Bank has also suggested gradually increasing both our retirement age and the EPF withdrawal age to 65. What do you make of this suggestion, and what would be the concerns behind doing this?
Okay, the retirement age is always very sensitive in Malaysia. I think you're aware of that, yeah? For many countries, they have learned to index or they have indexed the retirement age to the life expectancy. And I think Singapore has started doing that. It has to be a national discussion on whether are we ready to index our retirement age to the life expectancy. And I think in the long run, we have to do that because, as I mentioned, the dependency ratio or the rate of people or how many people is dependent upon the productive population will cause a strain on the economy. So we will have to definitely consider that. Now, for the EPF withdrawal, the current rate of having the account one, account two, and we're also looking into account one now for the withdrawals is something that we have to discuss as well, because that would further erode into the savings that Malaysians have, and especially now, you know, with the longer life expectancy, and as we are aware, yeah, that two-thirds of the Malaysian contributors in the EPF have less than 50,000 ringgit in their account. So all this will impinge upon the savings that contributors have in the EPF, and it will definitely affect their well-being in the old age.
Right. Having said that, though, Prof, is there a need to refine EPF's role?
At the center, we also, I'm from the Social Wellbeing Research Center. We are an EPF endowed center, yeah? We do research into social protection, old age financial protection, and social protection in general, yeah? So we feel that the current model of our social security, which EPF is part of that, yeah? Social insurance or social security, as it's called, It's not sustainable. We have to talk about getting more people into the net, into the group. And as of now, I think the numbers have been discussed in many forums. Yeah, it is only about 40% of Malaysian adults of 22 million are in the formal sector who's contributing to the EDF. So the current model is not sustainable to ensure income smoothing when post-retirement, to ensure the well-being of the aging population. It's definitely not sustainable. So we have to, again, the government will have to seriously consider, it's not just tweaking. It is about looking at a more integrated old age financial protection, a more integrated social protection in order for us to comfortably or to confidently move forward with our aging population phenomenon.
And I wanted to look at one specific part of that report, which highlights that the gap in employment for older women is higher than that of, it's problematic compared to men in the same age bracket. Are targeted approaches for women needed given their higher life expectancy and lower EPF contributions?
We are not. The work at the centre is we want the old age protection to be more inclusive. To take into consideration everyone, people in the informal sector, women. And the reason why there are higher percentage of older women than men in the same age bracket employed or still working is because women are mainly in the informal sector. Many of us in the informal sector, or many of Malaysians in the informal sector, they cannot afford to retire. So they will have to continue working until they die. So what we are proposing at the centre is to have an integrated and holistic type of social protection where everyone is covered. The moment you are an adult, we are also proposing that individuals will have to contribute, every Malaysian will have to contribute towards their old age financial protection. If they are poor, they cannot afford, the government should contribute for them. But there should be a contributory type where for those who can afford, there is also an element of cross-subsidization when you talk about social insurance, meaning that the more wealthier group in the society or in Malaysia would be able to support the less fortunate or the poorer segment of the society. So by having that, this is a pool of a fund that you're supposed to manage it and invest it in order for you to support or to provide pension upon their retirement. Yeah? So these are some of the proposals that we're looking at and we're proposing to the government, and hopefully through the Malaysian Social Protection Council, we can come up with something more long-term and more inclusive and sustainable for Malaysia.
Right, but the World Bank also looked at the silver lining in all of this, the potential economic opportunities that may arise from an aging population. How can we recognize and capitalize on these opportunities?
I think many countries are doing this. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can learn from other countries, because especially for Malaysia, the Malaysian government and Malaysians in general have invested in the education of the baby boomers and the generation after that. To let them go is not wise. So to get them still involved in the economy. And I think the government has introduced some initiatives that if you're hiring workers or individuals beyond the age of 60, there's certain incentives given. And some, like some companies like the BMW and all that, do hire their senior members or senior employees in order to work together. Yeah, you can create synergy when the older who's more experienced working together with the younger a group which has a different kind of intonation or intelligence, that will create a synergy, not just for an organization, but for the country as a whole. So getting the older population to still participate in the economy is one of those opportunities that we're talking about. And we have done some work on what we call the demographic dividends, that you can, with highly educated citizens like Malaysians, you can even get the third demographic dividend, or what you call the silver dividend, where it's not just about investment, it's not just about savings, but also the cognitive abilities of the older workers or the aging population could become another resource or could contribute to the productivity of the economy.
Prof, thank you so much for those insights. That was Professor Dr. Norma Manso, Director of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre of University of Malaya, talking to us about the impact and possibilities of an ageing society in Malaysia.
Yep.
We are now going to have to cross over to the 7:30 news. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.